And so because I knew it was God saying to do this, in fact, he even said on Wednesday morning, you get all these kids and have this big Bible study on Wednesday morning. So I handed out all of these flyers, made all of these announcements, and I thought, man, we're gonna have like 100 kids at this restaurant. So I got there, told the waitress, you better make a big room because we're gonna have lots here. And so she set out all of these tables and water and stuff. First week, 7 kids came. We had a lot of extra water.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Do you ever look back on your life and wonder how things might have turned out if you had made different decisions? When you were at a fork in the road, what would have happened if you had gone left instead of right? Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us how God spared David a ton of grief by orchestrating events that were out of David's control. Here is Pastor Wayne with part 2 of a message entitled, Finding Confidence in the Desert.
You know, it's funny, sometimes God just puts a sense in a parent, and you just don't know why. But if you fight against it hard enough, you come to loss. There's going to be times, too, when we won't understand things with God and why God just won't let something go through. But God, I've been serving you. I've been waiting. I got your promises and everything, and I'm just tired now. I'm just tired and desperate. I don't understand why you're putting all these stops in here. We'll have a tendency just to drop out in desperation, make a foolish move. Don't do it. Because what we have to do is understand the ways of God. And when you receive him and you give him your heart, he doesn't just come and take your side like a buddy. He comes to take over because he sees the end from the beginning. And if you'll understand the ways of God, you'll start to trust him. And then God will begin to show you that you can find confidence and trust even in the desert. Well, David learns that lesson later, but on his way back to Ziklag, when he returns, he finds out that everything is trashed. And not only that, the 600 men are bitter with David. They have lost trust in David because when David said, hey, let's go fight, 600 men go. Now that town is vulnerable. They come back. Their families are gone. Everything that they owned has been burned to a crisp. And they look at David and say, it's your fault. You wanted to fight this dumb battle. And then we get rejected, and then we come back, and we've lost everything. They were so bitter, they wanted to stone him to death. They started picking up stones. They were going to actually kill him. All of a sudden, nobody trusts David anymore. But God is about to give David the second lesson in confidence and trust, is that you can trust God to build your confidence even when I'm all alone. Would you write that in there? You see, sometimes God's going to remove people's confidences in you in order for you to gain confidence in God. Let's read the scripture under number 2. Let's see what takes place. Ready? Go. David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The first time in 16 months, he turns to the Lord. But it's not until he's at the end of his rope. He's on the last rung of the ladder of desperation. And now he has a choice to jump off and end it all or cry out to God. He turned around and there was no one for him to lean on. You know, sometimes God removes all the people around you. And you're crying out to people and they're not around. God just leaves you all alone because there's certain things in your heart that has to change. And with people around you, they sort of give you this padded cushion so that you don't face reality. Sometimes God removes people's support. Why? To teach us to get weaned off of people and connect ourselves back to God, the only one who can strengthen you. I was sick and nobody called me.
I was hurting and nobody came and helped me. Nobody even came from the church. Dumb church, stupid church. I don't like that church.
And God says, you know, sometimes I'll do that because they're not the ones that are going to give you confidence and strength. If they come, that's icing on the cake. What's happened is your heart has drifted from me and now it's attaching to people. And you're getting strength through people. Oh, that's nice, but you've got to return it to me. There's sometimes people aren't going to be around to strengthen you, so you must strengthen yourself in the Lord. Take a look at that last line in that scripture, and would you underline it where it says, and David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Why? Because there was nobody around to strengthen him. He had to strengthen himself. And sometimes this is the ways of God. God is going to remove people from you. Why? To wean us off of people. And sometimes it's only when God weans us off of people that we turn back to God. Let's read what David writes later on in Psalm 107. It's like he experienced this firsthand. Let's read it. Ready? Go. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. See that word, then they cried out? Underline that. You see, they didn't cry out to God until what? Until they stumbled and there was who to help? None. Sometimes God does that, and he leaves us all alone to wean us off people so that we won't blame them or lean on them and return. Some of you may be in that position where you say, well, where's all the people? How come they're not? How come they're not here and helping me here and giving me help here, strength here, visiting me here? And God is saying, because I've got to wean you off of them. Oh, they're wonderful. But sometimes I've got to remove them so that you will strengthen yourself back in the Lord. And he deals with our hearts that have been drifting. I remember when I was a youth pastor, the Lord spoke to me so clearly about discipling some high school students. And so because I knew it was God saying to do this, he in fact even said, on Wednesday morning, you get all these kids, and because I was a youth pastor, and we had a fairly large youth group, and he said, bring them all together from the different schools and have this big Bible study on Wednesday morning before school and teach them things about they're going to apply in school, and then they can go to school. So I handed out all of these flyers, made all of these announcements, and I thought, man, we're going to have like 100 kids at this restaurant. And so this is so cool. So I got there, told the waitress, you better make a big room because we're going to have lots here. And so she set out all of these tables and water and stuff. First week, 7 kids came. 7. We had a lot of extra water. So I talked to them and I did a Bible study with them. And when it was done, I said, now go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in next week. Go to your friends. Go to your neighbors. Go to your enemies. I don't care. Bring them in. Next week, 3 came. True story. 3 kids came. I said, doubled my efforts. Go out to the highways and byways. Compel them to come in. The next week, it was Jesus and me. And lots of water. I was so embarrassed. I was so humiliated. I said in my heart, that's it. I ain't going to do this. If these kids aren't coming, why should I take up my time? I'm finished. I'm not doing this stuff anymore. I'm out of here. Just then, the Lord began to speak to my heart. I remember sitting in the booth or at a table, and the waitress kept coming. Are they coming? You know, we got 45 glasses of water here. I want to tell her, shut up. So after a while, I sat there and I was so humiliated. But you know, it's when God kind of removes everybody, it's when your heart gets real open for him to talk to you. And he said, Wayne, did I ask you to do this? I said, yeah, but where are the kids? He said, no. Did I ask you to do this? Yeah. You see, I just vowed that I was not going to do this anymore. I was going to defect. cross the line, finish. And the Lord says, then if I asked you to do it, then you do it regardless of the results. It is not results that motivate your obedience. It's obedience that motivates obedience, regardless of results. And if you don't catch that, you'll miss it, because you'll be playing in the hands of pleasing people, and you'll obey me only if you get results. But you've got to break that heart, because you'll never develop a heart of a servant. And then he spoke to me about the wickedness of my heart. He said, you know when you said to the kids, go and get more kids? It wasn't because you really love kids. Nuh-uh. You know why you said, go get more kids? Because seven kids aren't enough to validate your ego. You need more. Bring more. So I have more, and then validates who I am. You're not there to help them. They're there to help you. You weren't there to feed them. You wanted them there to feed you and your ego. And if you don't change that heart, I cannot use you as a servant. I mean, it was a moment of destiny for me. And I was face to face with my own wickedness. I remember that day, and I can even tell you the name of the restaurant, because God spoke so strongly to my heart. But you know, I couldn't hear him until he removed people, and I was left all alone. But then he began to build a confidence in me that's beyond results. That's what happened with David. When no one was there to trust him, no one was there to pump him up, no one was there to agree with him, it was then, the Bible says, and David strengthened himself in the Lord. That's the ways of God. There's going to be times you'll be all alone. You'll fight against God. You'll get mad at God. You'll get mad at people, and you'll blame people. But if you walk away with that as your last thought, you will miss everything about how God builds confidence in the desert. And you will miss the ways of God. And you'll fight against the ways of God. Well, David understands now, and he says, okay, I got it. I got it. I've strengthened myself in the Lord. But still, he doesn't have a clue what to do. Okay, God, I'm ready to go. But he still doesn't know what to do. Now enter the third stage of God building confidence in the desert. And he finds that God is trustworthy even when I don't know what to do. Would you write that in, number three? God's going to build trust even when you don't know what to do. Let's read what happens as he prays. Ready? Go. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall surely rescue all. Would you underline, and David inquired of the Lord. First time he's done that in over five chapters. Yeah, you see, when David was younger, he would inquire of God at every turn. 1 Samuel 22:10, David inquired of the Lord. 23:2, David inquired of the Lord. 23:4, David inquired of the Lord. And then there's five chapters of silence. That's when he defects and goes to the Philistines. First time back now, 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, David inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel 2, 1, David inquired of the Lord. 5:19, he inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel 5, 23, David inquired of the Lord. You see, his heart starts to return to ask for God's help. See, sometimes we kind of got it together, and we don't need God, and we find ourselves talking less and less, inquiring less and less. But there's going to come times when you're going to drift, and you're going to wake up one day, and you're going to say, where in the world am I? I don't understand what's going on. Seems like everybody's left me. And God will use those times to bring your heart back. For we find even in Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with what? All your heart. And that's exactly what David begins to do. Well, we know the end of the story. He actually goes and rescues them all. But you see, what happens is what returns is his heart to inquire, to seek, and to search after God. Sometimes when everybody's gone and we don't understand, we think, God, you're so far away. He's not far away. You know what is? My heart has drifted. My ears now have become dull. My eyes cannot see clearly. And we're praying and we're seeking God and we're saying, God, why are you so far away? Now you have a choice to get up off your knees and say, forget it, and defect. Your heart drops. You go back to fishing like Peter did. You go back to the Philistines, whatever it might be. You just defect and say, that's it. But don't do it. Because you see, what God is doing is when I think he's far away and I start burning my knees into the carpet and saying, God, I can't get to you. I can't grasp you. What's happening is though we think God's far away, as I am inquiring, as I am seeking, as I am asking, as I'm knocking, as I'm continuing to pursue relentlessly the Lord, what's happening is my heart is changing. There's stuff burning out of my heart. If I give up, my heart remains far away. But if I begin to seek him with all my heart, something happens. No, prayer doesn't bring God closer to me. It brings my heart closer to him. Because he's always there. But he seemed so far away because my heart has drifted. Imperceptibly, little by little, I don't know how it happened, but now I don't hear God as much. I don't see God as clearly. My heart, I don't sense his presence. But God says, isn't it time for you to start really seeking me? Not just waiting for my blessings. Not just waiting for me to take sides with you, because I won't. I won't take sides. I'm going to take over. And if you want my best, your heart has to be close. Sometimes our heart's far and we're saying, come on, God bless me. Come on, God bless me. Come on, do what I want you to do. Come on now. And God's saying, I don't take sides. Well, how do I get my heart then closer to him? God's going to sometimes allow us to seek him. And you know what? When your eyes are fixed on the Lord and everything else just starts to pale, then you start to see him clearly. You start to hear him more clearly. And then when he speaks, you can cooperate with the ways of God, because when he's blurry and the signal's hard to hear, you're not sure. You don't have confidence to obey God, to walk in his ways, because you don't know what he's really saying, because your ears are dull and your heart's far away. How do you change that? God says, in the midst of the desert, I'm going to have you seek me and burn your knees into the carpet for a while. Now you can get up and say it's too hard, or you can just stay there and relentlessly pursue me. And when you do, your heart sharpens, your ears get cleaner, and your eyes get clearer. And then when I speak, you have confidence to move because you know exactly what I said. That doesn't come just by something being handed to you on a silver platter when your heart's far away. It requires a close heart. Fix your eyes on him. In the midst of the desert, don't take your eyes off of him. And even though he seems far away, pursue him relentlessly, because it's your heart that's getting cinched up to him. In Oregon, there's a deaf school in Salem. And I went up to watch a football game because these deaf high school kids are playing football. And I thought, now how in the world are they going to hear like the calls, you know, because they're all deaf. What was interesting is this. They get out on the field and they all stand up and look at the coach, and the coach signs the plays and they nod, and then they watch the quarterback, and the quarterback puts his hand down and it snaps and they go. I thought that's pretty cool. But what was most intriguing of all was this. Catch this. You've got all of these substitutes on the line, right? On the sideline. They all want to play. They're all excited. They got their pads on and helmet. They're wanting to play. But how does the coach make the exchange? You know, he can't say, Joey, go in for Billy, because they can't hear. So how does he do it? This is really cool. After the play is done, as soon as the play is done, and the guy gets tackled, as soon as it's done, all the kids look at the coach. Because he's got a sign, right? You go in for him or whatever. And so if he doesn't sign, then they watch the play again. As soon as the play is done, they look at the coach again. And it was just so interesting because they fix their eyes on that coach. They're just ready, waiting, bated breath, ready to jump in. But they got to fix their eyes on the coach in order to catch that. That they're so ready to move in a moment's notice. And I looked at that and I said, oh God, make my heart like that. Return my heart in such a way that, like an apt, ready servant, I keep my eyes fixed on you, that any move in my direction, I'm ready. I'm catching it. I got it. And you see, that's what happened with David. When he was so far away in the desert, through an arduous journey, even when he didn't understand, when people left him alone, and when he didn't know what to do, God brought him all the way back and took his soiled heart and gave him the heart of a king. Because it's at that moment, later on, David becomes the king of Israel, and even yet today is known as one of the greatest kings of Israel. And if God will do that with David, he'll do that with us. And if you will relentlessly pursue him, even in desert times, seek him, he'll take that soiled heart and exchange it with the heart of the king. He did it with David, he'll do it with us. Amen. If you're here today and you say, you know, Wayne, you talked about giving your heart to God, and he doesn't just come to take sides, he comes to take over. I haven't given my heart to God, but I really do need him to take over. I want to trust him, because I've done stuff with my life and I can't trust myself. I don't know the end from the beginning. I don't know the future, but God does. And I trust him. I really want him to take over. And that's what it means by giving your heart to Jesus Christ, receiving him as your Lord, though the one who takes over. It is sin, or rejecting Christ again and again and again, that separates us from him. But Jesus shed his blood to give us a pathway back. And if you've never received Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, oh, do it today. I received Christ when I was 19 years old. I've walked with him ever since. And I look back on my years, he has not ever failed me even once. Oh, he's not always taken my side. He's taken over. And you can trust him. He is fully trustworthy. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And if you've never received Christ, do it today. Say yes to him and let him take over. If that's you today and you'd say, you know, I need to do that. I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to say yes to him. Lord, I trust you. It's time, I think, you just take over. If that's your heart, would you raise a hand and in doing so, say yes to Jesus Christ? Okay, yeah, okay, yep, all right. Yeah, okay, you too, yeah. All right, in the middle, yeah. Okay, in the back, yeah, okay. Anybody else? Don't wait. Okay. Yeah. All right. You too. Yeah. Yeah. You can put your hands down. How many of you are here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I've received Christ before, but you know what? I am so off when it comes to knowing the ways of God. I mean, I bet I fight against God more times than I cooperate with him. I just really want to have as my prayer, the prayer that David prayed, oh God, show me your ways. Because I want to cooperate with him. If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, in doing so, say to the Lord, yeah, Lord, that's me. I really want to know your ways more so that I can cooperate with you. Yeah. Yeah. You can put your hands down and let's pray together. Would you reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you as we conclude? And let's just make it our heart's cry to the King. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and died for me, that I might have life everlasting. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths, that I might cooperate with you. I receive you. Come and take over. I trust you. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, I can hear myself, and the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus, draw me close.
If you prayed that prayer along with Pastor Wayne, we would like to send you a free booklet that will help you get started in your new walk with Jesus Christ. Call us at area code 808-842-4242 and ask for the Yes Packet, and we'll get it out to you right away. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
For I desire to worship and obey.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
Lord, that's our desire.